This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. In Hamilton County, nearly one in five pregnancies is spaced less than 1 year apart. But the amount of time between a woman's pregnancies has a dramatic impact on infant vitality. An ad campaign recently released by the Cradle Cincinnati Partnership is designed to educate women about the importance of spacing their pregnancies. And joining us to discuss how planning and proper spacing of pregnancies benefits babies, our director of the Center for Prevention of Preterm Birth and co-director of the Perinatal Institute at Cincinnati Children's Medical Center, Dr. Lou Muglia, Cradle Cincinnati Associate Director and Spacing Project Lead Beth McNeil, and Cradle Cincinnati Executive Director Ryan Adcock. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Ryan, Lou, and Beth, thank you for being here this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Ryan, for those who might not have heard about Cradle Cincinnati, tell us a little bit about the organization.
Absolutely. So Hamilton County, your listeners may know, has had one of the highest infant mortality rates in the country for years now. And a couple years ago, a collaborative was formed to try to address this problem. And this collaborative includes local maternity hospitals. It includes Cincinnati Children's, the city, the county, community activists, faith leaders, high school principals, really a very diverse coalition representing the community to try to come together and say, hey, if we work together on some focused issues, we can make a difference around infant mortality.
How bad is the rate? We're bottom 10 in the country. I mean,
bottom 10%, yeah, and it depends on which year you're talking about. So last year, our infant mortality rate was 8.8, which means 8.8 babies die for every 1,000 that are born. And just to give you an idea, the national rate's around 6. So it's significantly higher, and when you get into certain pockets of the community, certain neighborhoods, it's even higher than that.
Now, Beth, there are three areas, I believe, that you work to educate women about. The three S's, I think they're called. Yeah, okay. What are those?
You are correct. They are safe sleep, smoking cessation, stop smoking, and birth spacing. So sleep, smoking, and spacing, the three S's.
And those are all the three critical issues to reducing infant mortality, I guess even reducing preterm birth, which leads to infant mortality. Lou, this latest campaign, it's focused on spacing. Now, what is the impact of not leaving enough time between pregnancies?
The impact is that it really significantly increases your rate of preterm birth. And in Hamilton County, in Ohio, and everywhere in the United States, preterm birth is the single leading cause of infant mortality, accounting for basically 75% of babies dying within the first year of life. So not leaving enough time and increasing your rate significantly increases the chance of having that bad outcome to your pregnancy that I don't think any mothers or fathers want.
Mm. So something as simple as timing can have such a profound effect. Why is that?
Well, I think it's because pregnancy takes a lot of toll on mom. You have a growing baby that uses up a lot of mom's nutritional supply, drains her of a lot of energy. The whole pregnancy process causes some inflammation and a little bit of scarring to the uterus. You need to let mom's body recover, both from her nutritional status and from her uterine health, to be able to have another healthy pregnancy.
Mark, the analogy we often use is that of running a marathon. So if you imagine someone running a 26-mile race and then finishing and just taking an hour break and then running another marathon, she's going to be less likely to finish that second marathon. And pregnancy is a marathon. It's an athletic event. It takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of nutrients. And what we recommend with this campaign is waiting at least a year from the time of the delivery of that first child until the conception of that next child. And that is where we start to see rates of preterm birth even out. And the less time you have, the more at risk for having a preterm birth you might be.
What Ryan is saying is based on a lot of investigation and in studying women throughout the world. And this is a recurrent theme, that if you don't wait that 12 months, you have a significantly higher rate of not only preterm birth, but even babies that are born in the normal term range have more bad outcomes related to their early life period, probably because they're just not as healthy.
So 1 year at least, do you get any more benefit by, say, waiting 2 years, 3 years, or is it just about the same as 1 year?
Probably between 12 months and 24 months is the real sweet spot. And it some people say 18 months, but really above 12 months, there's not a big difference between 12 and 18. Some of the data suggests that the women that have a long time between pregnancies, the rates go up a little bit again, but that's probably because they have trouble getting pregnant.
And how often do you see preterm births at Children's Hospital? How common is that?
Oh, preterm birth. In Ohio right now, it's about a little bit over 10% of pregnancies. In the United States, it's 9.6% most recently. And depending on the ethnic and racial group you're from, it can be significantly higher than that. So African-American moms have a significantly higher rate of preterm birth. And that's for reasons we don't completely understand, although we still know it's affected a lot by their inter-pregnancy intervals, the timing between births.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. Beth, how aware are people about this whole issue of spacing pregnancies?
Well, it is a topic that is not commonly discussed, and that is really the impetus for this awareness campaign that we have. You may see our ads on the side of buses, on the back of buses going throughout the city, billboards, posters in your healthcare provider, along with information that your healthcare providers can hand out to you. So we're starting a conversation across the city. And we not only want to have conversations with mothers, soon-to-be mothers, but also with fathers and fathers-to-be, because it's a family decision. So
exactly.
Spacing not only affects the mother, but it also affects the father. So you will see men introduced in our upcoming campaign for the first time, because we want to make it a holistic conversation for families.
Yeah, and what I'll add to that is we know that lots of folks are unfamiliar with this conversation. When we talk about spacing, it's a brand new topic for a lot of people. So we did want to start with a simple awareness campaign. Did you know that putting 12 months in between your pregnancies can lead to healthier babies? And one thing I'll point out is that's not to scare folks. So if someone is pregnant or loves someone who's pregnant right now, who's got that short space in between pregnancies, that's not a reason to fear. What we're talking about here is public health outcomes. So when you look at the whole population, you see an increased risk there. With questions, I would certainly recommend talking to your family physician, your OBGYN, if you are nervous about the fact that maybe you only had 9 months in between your pregnancies. That's not a reason to fear, but in ideal situations when families have the ability to plan, we're recommending at least 12 months.
Yeah, that's interesting, though. You get this reaction. I guess you have people go, spacing, what's that mean? Is that what's...
Absolutely. We actually did a survey of Hamilton County residents recently where we learned that only about a third of Hamilton County residents know that this is an issue and know that it impacts the health of a baby. So there's lots and lots of growth to go in terms of just teaching the community the very basics of this.
How aware are they about the other two issues, sleeping and smoking?
It's a great question. So the thing we've talked the most about recently is safe sleep. And I'll mention it again here. I never miss the opportunity. Babies sleep safest alone on their back and in a crib. And if you need a crib, actually, you can get access to a free one by calling 211. And that message is one that we've found has penetrated the community very well. So when we ask families what's the safest place for a baby to sleep, on their stomach or on their back, we find that more than 90% are saying on their back, which is great news. And we feel like that message is starting to get out there. Of course, the message of smoking being harmful during your pregnancy is very pervasive. What has made that a trickier conversation is things like e-cigarettes. And we see a knowledge gap there in terms of, I know that smoking's bad for me, but maybe e-cigarettes are better, and we just don't know that yet. So
e-cigarettes, Lou, are not a good idea either.
Not a good idea either during pregnancy, especially.
So no smoking, period.
Exactly. And it causes problems beyond preterm birth. It causes babies not to grow very well, too. So babies born to moms that smoke are at increased risk of being of low birth weight, independent of being born early.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. And where are we seeing the highest rates of short pregnancy spacing in Hamilton County?
Sure. Like a lot of the issues we deal with, you see this in under-resourced communities at higher rates. And one thing that this conversation very naturally leads to, and I would imagine listeners at home are starting to think about, is planning pregnancy. And that can get into controversial topics, and that can get into, how do we have this conversation around contraception, and what does that mean? And these are all very appropriate conversations for our community likely to be having. And we think that things like contraception are absolutely part of the answer for how you might space out a pregnancy. But there's actually much bigger issues here to wrestle with as well. How activated are families to plan their lives, to think about the next year of their life, to think about, okay, if I take the following action, it might have the following consequence. And so really sitting down with families and trying to engage them, not just around their health, but around, okay, what is your work situation look like? What does your education situation look like? How's your relationship? And these sort of in-depth conversations are ones that we think will lead to better outcomes rather than just trying to make it medical.
Well, that has to be one of the biggest challenges though, Ryan, because not every pregnancy is intentional planned for. So that's got to be the tough part.
In fact, about 51% in Hamilton County are unplanned. And that surprisingly doesn't actually put us too far off from the state and national averages. Unplanned pregnancy is very, very common in our society. And again, we think part of that conversation needs to be around contraception, but it's much bigger than that. And we really need families to have conversations about intentionality and about where it is that they're headed as a family, and that will start to lead to some of those numbers going down.
As Ryan was saying, you know, the idea of planning is so important. Because one of the key things, and this really is related to spacing as well, is that how healthy moms are when they start pregnancy determine how healthy the pregnancy is going to turn out to be. So one idea is being healthy by giving yourself enough time to recover between pregnancies. Another thing is starting pregnancy at a healthy weight, knowing how much weight to gain. And if you've had a previous preterm birth, which is a very common thing, knowing what you can do specifically to prevent another preterm birth because you're at higher risk.
Beth, you want to weigh in on this?
I do. And some of the work that we're going to be starting in the next several months is we're really encouraged and excited to talk to men about how they are preparing and supporting the women in their lives for pregnancy. As Lou mentioned, just a healthy birth weight, really important, pre-pregnancy, during pregnancy, having the appropriate weight. But we're really looking at a holistic conversation because it may be a novel idea, but it takes two. So we're going to start talking to the fathers, and we're encouraging stress reduction, financial planning. Parenting is more than just the celebration of the baby, but adding a second child where you may be just working to plan for the child you've just had. Take that year, celebrate the child, have time as a family to grow, nurture the new baby that's just arrived. But if you had an opportunity to just hit pause for a year and work on something to be the best parent you could be, that's the opportunity we're looking to start with the conversations, as Ryan mentioned. So financial planning, job readiness, healthy eating, financial resources. So all of the things that go into mind, body, spirit, and being the best parent you can be are some of the things that we're going to be starting with a men's health initiative across the city.
You know, I have to think too, Beth, another benefit of spacing would be it's not quite as stressful if you have a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old in the house versus a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old, maybe. So,
very true, and you'll hear quite often Irish twins, stair steps. You know, babies that were born very close together. But I bet you, if you talk to those parents in retrospect, they were very lucky that they had healthy outcomes. But the stress level of babies very close together. We want families just to be as happy, healthy, and positive as possible.
You know, it's really a great point because we talk a lot about health, and that's kind of the space we live in. But this issue of spacing really goes beyond just whether the baby's going to be healthy or not. And we know that those early years are some of the most important years in a child's development. And the more time that a parent has to focus on that child, that first child, that second child, during those early years, the better that developmental process is going to go. We're talking about this as a community and things like the preschool promise and making sure that kids get into quality preschools throughout the community. This is part of that spectrum. Those first 3 years before preschool are important as well. And one way to make sure that the developmentally appropriate milestones are hit is to really have the time to focus on one child at a time to some degree.
513-419-7100 to join us. And Tricia in Wyoming joins us now. Hi, Tricia.
Hello there. I haven't heard the subject of breastfeeding come up yet, and I was just thinking about this topic and how if you breastfeed your child, that can naturally sometimes be a way to space children. It may delay the onset of the woman's cycle, as well as just feeding, you know, your infant human milk and how many positive qualities it has, especially for a preterm baby.
Yeah, it's a great question. Certainly, breastfeeding is the optimal sort of source of nutrition for babies. It has many health benefits besides just providing them with calories and substrate to grow on. It gives them a lot of things that help them prevent infections and just do better overall. Using breastfeeding, though, is a mechanism to exclusively think of protecting yourself from getting pregnant again probably won't work, because we know lots of moms that do breastfeed, that do get pregnant in that period. They're not entirely protected. So, again, it's about planning. It's about using the known methods to really minimize the chance of getting pregnant when you don't want to.
Again, 513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. Yeah, we were talking earlier about the neighborhoods that are most affected. Mm-hmm. Even when you take socioeconomic status into account, Ryan, how much risk is still associated? I don't think it would matter what your status is. The risk is the same, right?
It's a great question, because a lot of times when people first hear about this issue, they tend to go to stereotypes and they tend to think about things in their head that might not actually be what's happening on the ground. And what we've learned through a lot of the rigorous science that Lou has mentioned is that, yes, even when you account for socioeconomic status, short pregnancy spacing still does seem to matter. And there seem to be biological reasons for that. Again, Lou mentioned some of the predominant theories around nutrient depletion. So, you know, this concept that that mom has just ran this marathon and probably shouldn't try to start a second one again is a good one.
The point you raise, though, I mean, there are many factors that increase the risk of having a poor pregnancy outcome. Some women have infections during pregnancy. Stress certainly plays a big role in pregnancy outcomes. And then there are health behaviors like what your interpregnancy spacing is. And you have to think about all of those together. This is one of the things that we really know that will make a huge difference in health outcomes, that if we intervene, we will see results from. But there are other things we have to attack too. So many people are thinking about many things that are potentially actionable that we can use, but this is the one that's most actionable right now.
You know, when we talk about preterm birth and infant mortality, people leap to all sorts of conclusions. So one thing we hear all of the time is, oh, this must be teen moms. And that's actually not the problem at all. In fact, we only lose a few babies each year to teen moms. People leap to the conclusion that, oh, this must be related to drug addiction. And while drug addiction obviously is a huge problem, particularly during pregnancy, it's not the prevailing cause of our preterm birth and infant mortality problem locally. And what is really surprising to people is this issue of short pregnancy spacing actually seems to be one of the leading factors. So it's a new conversation for us that we're trying to start, but it really, really does seem to matter much more than some things that folks might be eager to get excited about in this conversation.
Beth, how long is the campaign going to go on? Where are people going to be seeing these messages most?
This is a phase one of our awareness campaign, and then we're going to move into more action in the next several months. So the bus ads are running right now. You'll see them for another several weeks. The billboard should be up through early March, and you will have posters in healthcare provider clinics across the city just going on forever.
And we should mention a local corporate partner who's been involved in this work. Desky is a local branding and communications firm who donates a lot of their services to us for free and really brings professionalism to these conversations. And they're behind this messaging, which we've tried to make very accessible to families. And the messages you see out right now are just the start of a conversation. So to best point, this is phase one of probably 40 phases. You know, we're really starting this conversation and we're in it for the long haul. And Beth's come on to our team to keep this conversation going and make it more than just a one-time campaign.
Kate Needham Park joins us now. Hi, Kate.
Hi.
Go right ahead. You're on.
Hi. Thank you for having this conversation. It's definitely an important one. I am a children's services case worker, and we work with a lot of families and mothers who smoke marijuana during their pregnancies and don't realize the dangers. I'm wondering if you could reflect on that misconception.
Sure, absolutely. So what we know about marijuana smoking in Hamilton County is that obviously it's a problem during pregnancy, but it's a much less common problem than tobacco smoking during pregnancy. That's what the data shows us. There's probably about three times as many local tobacco smokers during the second and third trimester of pregnancy than there are marijuana smokers. That does not mean that we recommend marijuana smoking during pregnancy. It can have very harmful effects. And Lou, I don't know if you can speak additionally to that.
Well, I think any time we expose our developing baby to chemicals and compounds that weren't meant to be there, they have profound effects. And we know that marijuana acts on the brain, and this is a very vulnerable period of brain development. So I think encouraging abstinence from all illicit drug use is absolutely essential.
Let's talk with John in Westwood. Hi, John.
Hi. My question relates to that, too, just about how much of the mortality rate might be correlated with access or maybe lack of access to prenatal care, where counseling about all of these variables is crucial, about diet, you know, prenatal supplementation, you know, drug and alcohol avoidance, things like that.
I love that question. We have a high emphasis on quality prenatal care in Hamilton County, and there's lots of excellent providers regardless of your income. If you know someone who's pregnant, if you are pregnant yourself, again, you can call 211 and they can connect you with a prenatal care provider that is near you. Again, there's a lot of great options. We have about two-thirds of moms access prenatal care during that first trimester, which is really when we recommend that you get into prenatal care. That number is going up slowly, so that's good to see, but we still have moms who don't access care till the third trimester. We still have moms who don't access care at all for a variety of complex social reasons. And one thing that we're trying to do at Cradle Cincinnati is make that prenatal care experience more welcoming. We have teams of volunteers and businesses who are working one at a time with local health centers to really transform them. That's actually also work that Beth leads, if you want to talk briefly about that.
Sure. We also are going to talk to the men that we're going to be engaging with, because they have an important part in encouraging the mom to get to the health center, to get to the doctor, and being present and giving them a voice at the table for the conversation for their soon-to-be child. So educating the fathers, helping them feel comfortable in a way that going to the doctor is not something that's overwhelming. I'm not sure what to do. This is something that may not be familiar. So we want to make this a very comfortable conversation and educate our men to best support the women in their lives.
That's an important point. They have a support role, too. It sounds, Ryan, like Hamilton County is making some inroads into reducing its infant mortality rate and increasing infant vitality. How much farther is there to go? What's ahead?
So much farther to go. Absolutely. Yeah. So over the past 4 years, we've seen significantly fewer babies die than in the 4 years previous to that, which is great news to see. We've gone from, you know, among the very worst in the country to not all that much better than that. So we've crawled kind of out of the very bottom of the list, but there's still lots and lots of room to go. We know that really making big impacts around pregnancy spacing, around maternal smoking, and around sleep can be a start to that difference.
Ryan, Lou, and Beth, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you.
Director of the Center for Prevention of Preterm Birth and co-director of the Perinatal Institute at Cincinnati Children's Medical Center, Dr. Lou Muglia, Cradle Cincinnati Associate Director and Spacing Project Lead, Beth McNeil, and Cradle Cincinnati Executive Director, Ryan Adcock.